Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Former CIA Director and U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta joins us to talk about the Trump administration, Russian meddling in the presidential election, and relations between the Trump administration and the Intelligence Committee. And welcome back to Forum, Leon Panetta. Good to have you with us.
Nice to be with you, Michael.
I guess the place to begin, though, is with the shooting this morning, and I'd like your take on it, particularly in terms of security and what it means in terms of bipartisan polarization.
Well, it was a shock, and the first I knew of it was a text message from my son, who's a new Democratic member of Congress, who also was practicing with the Democrats on their baseball team. Fortunately, a long way away from where the Republicans were practicing, but obviously, it was tragic. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of the victims I think all of us are thankful for the bravery of the Capitol Police and the other police that were there that, through their very brave actions, I think prevented an even greater tragedy from happening.
Yeah, the Capitol Police were heroic, nothing short of that. We were talking in the last segment, though, about, it's come over the wire that the man who's been identified as a shooter may indeed have been working on the Sanders campaign, and this is going to get political. I mean, even if that's not true, it's going to get even more political. And I wonder what can be done to really diminish that kind of fierceness and volatility that has so much plagued us.
Well, you know, it's something that I think concerns everyone that we see these divisions going on throughout our political institutions. I've often said in the 50 years that I've been involved in public life that I've seen Washington at its best and Washington at its worst. And I think the good news is I saw Washington work, where Republicans and Democrats were willing to work together on important legislation. And as a result of that, we were able to do things in a number of areas that I think serve the public interest. But most recently, I think Congress has been much more dysfunctional. Democrats and Republicans have virtually been in trench warfare, have not been able to work together, have largely tried to stop each side from getting anything done. I think that, you know, you hope that there is a realization when the kind of tragedy that we saw today happen, that the Congress, Republicans and Democrats, have a higher responsibility to the country, that this isn't just about fighting each other. It's not just about accusing each other of being unable to do the right thing for the country. They have a responsibility as elected representatives to come together and try to deal with the huge issues that this country is facing. I think one of the things that resulted in the last election was tremendous anger and frustration among a lot of Americans that Washington was dysfunctional and not serving their interests. And I think at some point, and I don't know whether this kind of incident can be that starting point, but at some point, both sides, Republicans and Democrats, have to recognize that their responsibility as elected representatives is to go back to Washington and to govern, not simply to fight each other.
Well, I'd like you to give a listen, as well as our listeners, to hear what House Speaker Paul Ryan said earlier today after a brief moment of silence, and he's been praised for his remarks by Nancy Pelosi on the other side of the aisle. Let's hear.
But we do not shed our humanity when we enter this chamber. For all the noise and all the fury, we are one family. These were our brothers and sisters in the line of fire.
He also said that we were horrified by the attack and we're united in our shack, and our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. Can that spirit be infused up on Capitol Hill, do you think, Leon Panetta, in the wake of this to any degree?
Well, Michael, I think our prayer is not only with the victims of this tragedy. Our prayer is that the Congress recognizes, as a result of what happened today, that they have this larger responsibility to really work together to resolve the issues facing this country. You know, we've been through crises in the past. We went through 9/11. We've been through you know, tragedies involving our economy, natural disasters, and there's always the hope that coming out of those tragedies, that there will be greater unity between Republicans and Democrats, and certainly that's the hope today.
It's a wonderful hope.
The problem is this has been deeply ingrained.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful hope, but not only deeply ingrained, but when you think about how polarized this country is in terms of of guns, just to begin with, but also the last election and the feeling that on the one hand, there may have been some collusion with the Russians that many Democrats are advocating, and on the other hand, that this is all about just anger at Hillary Clinton losing the election. I mean, there's terrible polarization, the likes of which we haven't seen in decades.
Yeah, no, there clearly is. And yet, you know, I guess deep down for me as somebody that has seen politics for a long time, and especially as Secretary of Defense, when I saw, you know, young men and women who are willing to fight and die for this country, that I believe that ultimately American leadership will do the right thing. We've been through a lot of crises in this country over 200 years. And leadership has always risen to the occasion. And I think all of us have to hope that at some point both Republicans and Democrats recognize that they have that higher responsibility to do the right thing for our country.
Well, let me ask you about how the president figures into this, because you have been concerned and have expressed that concern publicly about him. I think you've called him a loose cannon, and he said he needs to grow up to show that some lines can't be crossed, and also spoke, I think, quite poignantly about the credibility and respect for the office of the presidency that's maybe from your perspective been tarnished, but certainly from the perspective of many Democrats been tarnished.
Well, we're living at a time when the institutions of our democracy are truly being tested. You know, thank God our forefathers created a system of checks and balances to try to make sure that power could not be centralized in any one branch of government. And to a large extent, those checks and balances have worked throughout our history. But I think the reality right now is that we not only have had a dysfunctional Congress, we have a dysfunctional presidency. And the combination of that makes it, I think, you know, in some ways a very dangerous moment for our country, because the very institutions that we depend on to be able to come together to do the right thing for our country are wrapped up in a very divisive and polarized political situation in which, you know, all sides are fighting each other to try to determine just exactly what can happen, what will happen for our country. So how can this all change? Well, I think it requires leadership. I've often tell the students at the Panetta Institute that in our democracy we govern either by leadership or crisis. If leadership is there and willing to take the risks associated with leadership, we can avoid crisis. Otherwise, we govern by crisis. And very frankly, right now, too much of what we do is governed by crisis.
Talking with Leon Panetta, who is chair of the Panetta Institute for Public Policy and also former director of the CIA, former U.S. Secretary of Defense, and also author of a memoir, which we featured on Forum, Worthy Fights, a memoir of leadership in war and peace. What are your thoughts, Leon Panetta, about the president, I mean, especially having been head of the CIA, the president kind of waving around classified information to Russians?
Well, I've been very concerned about his relationship generally with the intelligence community going back to soon after he was elected, and the comments he made trying to demean the intelligence community and agencies and those involved in trying to do what is important for this country, which is to try to protect this country. I've always believed that there had to be a close relationship between presidents and their intelligence agencies. Presidents depend on good intelligence to make the right decisions. They have to have that intelligence, particularly intelligence involving our adversaries, and respect the classification of that information. So I think both the comments he's made about our intelligence community undermining some of the trust in those agencies, and then taking the step of revealing classified information, particularly to the Russians, which can very much jeopardize the source of that kind of very sensitive information, something nobody should do, particularly the President of the United States. I think just raises serious questions about whether he truly understands and respects the important role that our intelligence agencies have to play in terms of being able to protect our security.
And you have said, as far as national security, that you believe we're in Chapter 2 of the Cold War now?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. We've got more flashpoints in the world than I've seen since the end of World War II. We're fighting ISIS in a war on terrorism. We're dealing with failed states in the Middle East, Syria. We're dealing with continuing concerns about Iran, North Korea. We've got China exerting territorial claims. We've had huge cyber attacks taking place. And we have Russia in what I believe is a new chapter of the Cold War. We've got Putin being very aggressive, not only in the Crimea and the Ukraine and Syria, but the willingness to conduct this cyber attack that took place in the United States last year on our election system is clearly of concern, because it's the kind of thing that he's going to continue to do in the future. He's doing, he tried to do it in France. He's going to do it in Germany. And it represents a real threat to our security. And that's for that reason that I think it's important for this investigation to find out, what did the Russians do? Why were they involved? And how do we prevent that from happening in the future?
We're talking with former director of the CIA, Leon Panetta, also former U.S. Secretary of Defense. And you can join us in this discussion. In fact, we invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. So, again, please join us. Again, the number 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post questions or comments there. You can do that at kqed.org/forum, or you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And getting back to Russia, Leon Panetta, for a moment, I've got a listener comment here who says, something very important revealed in both Director Comey's and Attorney General Sessions' testimony was the fact that neither Trump nor Sessions had any interest in the Russian interference in our electoral process. Why is it that the highest-ranked officials in the Trump cabinet have no interest in the Russia investigations?
Well, that's a very real concern. I think, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, the fact that 17 intelligence agencies have agreed that Russia was behind this attack on the United States trying to interfere with our election process is very serious. I mean, it constitutes an attack on our country using a cyber weapon that, is clearly going to be, I think, the battlefield of the future. For a president not to have sat down with his intelligence agencies and gotten a full briefing on what exactly was involved with this kind of attack, for a president not to express concern about what the Russians were doing and what they can do in the future to interfere with our election process, to not reflect what I think ought to be his concern as president of the United States, which is to protect our country from those kinds of attacks, raises a lot of very real questions about just exactly what motivates this president when it comes to dealing with an adversary, the Russians, who are going to do everything they can to undermine our stability. That's what they're targeting. That's what they're going to continue to do. And for goodness sakes, the responsibility of the president is to make sure that we're protected from that kind of interference.
As far as collusion, though, many have pointed out there's a good deal of smoke, a lot of Trump associates named, and questions about President Trump's own role in the campaign and so forth, but no real smoking gun, so to speak. A lot of suspicion, as people like, on the Intelligence Committee have certainly pointed to in the Democratic side. Just wondering, as former head of the CIA, if you put much stock in or much credence in the much controversial Steele dossier, which, of course, the Trump people have labeled as fake news, which almost suggested that President Trump could have come under blackmail by the Russians.
Well, that's why we need to have a very thorough investigation of all of these issues. And, I know there are committees in the Congress that are looking at this. We saw one yesterday trying to get testimony from Attorney General Sessions. But I happen to believe that probably the most effective investigation is going to be that by the special counsel. I I know Bob Mueller. He's very credible. He is fair. He's objective. He's very thorough. He was that way as a prosecutor, and I have a tremendous amount of confidence in his ability to conduct a very thorough investigation. It's going to take a while, but I think it's the most effective way to get the answers that, frankly, we haven't really gotten from the hearings on Capitol Hill. And there are a number of issues. One, what was the Russian interference in our election process? What was involved? What kind of attacks took place? What were they trying to do? Secondly, the issue of collusion. And, you know, we don't have any clear evidence of that right now, but we have obviously a number of Trump associates who have been linked to Russia, have had meetings with Russia. We had concerns about Jared Kushner trying to set up back channels. All of this has to be looked at to see, to determine why were these meetings being held? What was the purpose? And lastly, the issue of potential obstruction of justice. That has to be looked at as well. Director Comey opened that door with the kind of conversations he had with the president. So all of those issues need to be thoroughly looked at. We need to find the truth, and that's what the purpose of these investigations ought to be, to find the truth and then to then take appropriate action for those that may have committed violations of our laws.
Again, our guest is Leon Panetta, former director of the CIA and former U.S. Secretary of Defense. And let me get some callers on here. Michael, we begin with you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for a wonderful show yet again. My question for the director would be more about the foreign policy of our country. I see this as a major, yet another sideshow, really. I'm not downplaying the, you know, buffoonery of Donald Trump or possible criminal action, but really, let's look at Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's look at billions and billions of dollars and lives and horror in that part of the world. You know, I see the American government is really failing on all fronts. I think it has been for quite a while. It doesn't represent, the interests of the average person. This is another sideshow. There's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of money spent. And you know what? It's really hard to prove hacking anyway. So it's like I'm looking more at global issues. And I'd like to ask the director what he thinks about a possible exit strategy from Iraq and Afghanistan, if there is one ever in sight. And furthermore, what about all the money being funneled to ISIS through Saudi Arabia?
Two big questions, Michael. Let me go to Leon Panetta. Thank you for the call.
Well, obviously a lot of concerns that your listener has raised, and they're legitimate concerns. As I said, we're dealing with a very volatile world. We're dealing with a lot of flashpoints that are out there. The important thing for the United States to do is to be able to have at least some kind of global strategy in order to deal with these threats. But the United States can't deal with them alone. If the United States is going to confront these challenges, we have to build and strengthen our alliances. That's why NATO is important in dealing with Russia. The United States is part of the NATO family, and we should be. And we should respect Article 5, and we should work with our NATO partners to try to make sure we protect against Russia. We need to have a strong alliance with countries in the Middle East to try to deal with the threat of terrorism and the instability of countries in the Middle East, building relationships with Israel and with other moderate Arab countries.
Does that include Saudi Arabia? Because since the listener brought it up.
Well, Saudi Arabia is one of those countries we've tried to maintain a relationship with. It doesn't mean we shouldn't raise issues of concern with Saudi Arabia about human rights violations, about some of the things that they do. But at the same time, every country we have an alliance with, we have our differences, but we try to work together when it comes to security issues, and I think we should do that.
Wouldn't you say, though, Director or Secretary Panetta, what do you favor these days, Leon Panetta? Secretary or Director, by the way?
Secretary is the last title, but whatever.
We'll go to the last title then. I'm just wondering what you thought about President Trump essentially forging much stronger ties with the Saudis and doing it to some degree at the expense of Iran. Not to say that we have good relations with Iran by any stretch, but now we're being sort of singled out by the Iranians once again, even in Rouhani's reelection.
Well, you know, the most important thing for a president of the United States is to maintain balance, for God's sakes. And I always get the impression that the president, rather than maintaining balance and continuing to focus on what is in our national interest. He kind of goes like a yo-yo. If he decides that Saudi Arabia is great, he moves towards Saudi Arabia and attacks Qatar and other countries. And, you go overboard. Tillerson himself, Secretary of State, has tried to say we ought to have some balanced relationship here. So that we protect our interests in that part of the world. So I think it's important that we have good relationships with moderate Arab countries like Jordan, UAE, and others. But at the same time, we have to maintain our balance. We have to recognize that there are concerns we have with these countries and some of the policies they implement, and make that clear. And that's true for allies elsewhere. But the bottom line is the United States has to provide leadership in a very troubled world. And, it goes back to your listener. I understand the concerns about Iraq and Afghanistan and the wars we've been involved in. And ultimately, the hope of President Obama was that we could withdraw from both of those areas. But at the same time, you have to deal with the threat from ISIS and the possibility that they could conduct attacks not only in Europe as they have, but in this country as well. So it does mean we need to, as we approach both of these areas and the Middle East as well, we have to have a larger strategy for how are we going to confront ISIS and how are we going to deal with the threat from terrorism. Look, we're not going to be able to kill all of the terrorists that are out there. We've got to go to the root causes of what creates terrorism. What's responsible for young people suddenly becoming terrorists? And a lot of those same causes we see in gang warfare here in this country. It's the sense that they don't have any opportunity, the sense that society is against them, the sense that they don't have any identity. And somehow we've got to develop a larger strategy to deal with the root causes of terrorism that attract young people across the world to these kinds of causes.
Let me go to another caller. We have Rose on the line from Colorado. Rose, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My name is Rose. I was at Kent State University on May 4th, 1970, and I just want to empathize with everybody because you never forget the sound of machine guns and the sight of rivers of blood. Thank you.
Yeah, Rose.
Yes.
Okay. Let me thank you for that statement. I don't know if you want to respond, Secretary Panetta.
No, I think when tragedies occur like we saw take place this morning, it reminds us of countless tragedies that we've seen in this country, where violence is used to try to resolve issues, and it never works. It never will. We ought to commit ourselves to an effort to understand our differences and to try to work together to see if we can't resolve our differences in a way that is in keeping with our democracy and in keeping with our humanity.
We've got a listener named David who wants to know what your thoughts are on the role of the news media in the dividing of the country.
Well, we're a country that believes deeply in the freedom of the press and in our freedoms. And frankly, the press has always been an extremely important institution to try to provide understanding and knowledge to the American people. We need to have an educated American people in order to maintain our democracy, and the press plays part of the role there. I think the press has to understand that it, too, has a responsibility to provide objectivity, to present the news as accurately as possible. And we're living at a time when, obviously, you've got both news media on the left and the right, plus social media, that have its own approach to kind of detailing the news. And it creates even further divisions within our society. I hope that we always maintain a free press, but I also hope that we always maintain a free press that can retain its fairness and objectivity so that the American people can truly get the kind of information that reflects the truth.
But what do you think the effect is of the President of the United States? I mean, you said before he almost has been adversarial where the intelligence services are concerned. He has been perhaps even, one might argue, more adversarial against the press, talking all about fake news and the press being against him and opposed to him and so forth. I mean, we haven't heard anything like that since Nixon.
Yeah, I get very concerned with presidents that that don't speak to our strengths, but always speak to, you know, what's wrong with our country, what's wrong with our freedoms, what's wrong with people that are trying to attack us in one way or another. The fact is, we're a strong country. We have our freedoms. We have our liberties. We have the ability to speak out and not only embrace what is in the preamble of our Constitution, but also understand through our humanity that we have to deal with one another. I think what we've lost sight of is that our democracy depends on consensus. It depends on compromise. It depends on a willingness to respect one another and to trust one another. That's essential to the ability of our democracy to govern. And when you have a president that demeans people or criticizes people or makes those kinds of remarks about our freedoms and liberties, it undermines trust in the presidency and it undermines trust in our institutions of democracy.
Again, we're talking with Leon Panetta, and Leon Panetta is the former director of the CIA and also the former U.S. Secretary of Defense and now chairs the Panetta Institute for Public Policy, which provides public policy research opportunities for college students at California State University, Monterey Bay, and also has a memoir out called Worthy Flights, a memoir of leadership in war and peace. Secretary Panetta, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Michael, great to be with you. Enjoy your show. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you for that. And thank you, our listeners, for being with us this hour, this first hour of Forum. We are going to decidedly and dramatically shift gears in the hour ahead. We've got a Facebook live feed, in fact, with Alan Alda, who will be joining us. Hope you will. We don't have a Facebook feed. Okay, scratch that. But Alan Alda, actor, director, screenwriter, and author of a new book all about communicating. If I understood you, would I have this look on my face? That's up ahead on Forum. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program, and stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.